Surely desire and interest in your prayers this morning. Feel like what the Lord has laid on our hearts is very serious. All the Word of God is serious, I understand that. By the help of the Lord, I'd like to present what He's laid on our hearts. I suppose if each one of us here today was given the opportunity to explain life, to talk about what life really is, we probably all have different thoughts. And yet, even after we finish, there would still be things that were not mentioned pertaining to life. When God created the world, and after He formed the world, and He began to put things in it. And He put things in it, and He gave those things life. He even created the fishes of the sea, the Bible says, and He told them to go forth and multiply and do what He put in them to do. Animals have life, animals of all kinds, birds, land animals and sea animals. They all have life, and they were all made out of the dust of the earth. There are things that are in the earth or on the earth that really doesn't have life. We can call those inanimate objects. For instance, a rock doesn't have life. There's no life in a rock. It was formed. God formed it. Dirt doesn't really have life either, does it? But yet when God came along and began to do His work in the sixth day, and I want to read those scriptures, just a few verses, in the second chapter of Genesis, in the seventh verse, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And then He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." First chapter in the 27th verse, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now, I believe that when God created the animals and the fish and so forth, I believe that they breathed because He gave them the breath of life. But the scripture tells us here that we, man, God's crowning glory, mankind, He not only breathed in us the breath of life, but it says when He did, man became a living soul. Doesn't say that about anything else. Man became a living soul. You and I are a living soul. And when He did this, it says that God blessed them and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." So God really, when He made mankind, I'm convinced that He really wanted them to go and replenish and be fruitful and multiply. But He wanted man to be like Him because He made man in His image. He wanted man to be upright. He wanted man to be holy, pure. He wanted man to be as He is. That's what He really wanted about man. It says He made us in His likeness or in His image. And when he breathed into us the breath of life, man became eternal. God in his wisdom made the body from dust, and the soul came from God. That's where the soul come from. You and I all have a soul this morning that come from God. So when he made man, he joined the material things of the earth and the immaterial parts of man, and he joined them together. He made us a twofold being. He made us flesh, dust, earth, and then he made us a living soul. He made us eternal, didn't he? He was interested when God made man his crowning glory and breathed into us the breath of life, and he still does that today. When a woman has a child, a little baby, and the baby comes forth and begins to breathe, God breathes then into them the breath of life, and they become a living soul. It says he blessed them. He gave them a function. He gave man a function, a purpose to live out here in this life. Something of a greater nature, of a greater, higher intellectual knowledge and understanding than any human animal, than any animal would have. Animals don't do things by reasoning. They have instinct. God gave the lion the instinct to be a lion. He gave the turtle the instinct to be a turtle and so forth. The birds get their food. They know where to look. They know what to eat by instinct. You and I, God has made higher than all of that and give us the ability to reason because he was interested in you and I living eternally. Eternally. I want us to think and consider life today. How temporary that it is on this side. Life is very temporary today. And every one of us understand that even though God made us in his image, made us in his likeness, and he gave one restriction, didn't he? He gave one restriction there in the garden, told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they did it. So, we learn from reading the scriptures that God understood that giving man the ability to reason and make choice, that man, because he was formed of the dust of the earth, was going to make bad choices. Man has been making bad choices ever since Adam and Eve. Been making bad choices. And Eve's choice, when she listened to the devil, the serpent, and partook of the fruit there in the garden and gave it to her husband, they set forth something in the nature of man that would take its course from that time to our day today. And that thing is called sin. They brought sin into the world, and all because of disobedience, and all because she got lifted up in pride, and the enemy knew how to approach to her and make his case to her, and he said that would make you wise as gods, and she got lifted up, and she got exalted, and because of all of that, and disobedience to God, they plunged the world into sin. But God in his love, and in his mercy, and his goodness to us, he didn't let us stop at that, did he? He didn't let us stop at that. But God knew that once the sin nature had entered into the heart of man, it tells us that after Adam and Eve came out of the garden, after the disobedience in the garden, it says they began to have children and they were born in their image. We're no longer born in the image of God. We're born in the image of man. And man's image is sin. But God had a plan. He had to have a plan in place. If he's going to make you and I a twofold being, not just a temporary life in this world, but to have an eternal life in the world to come. Folks, life is still precious. It's still very precious. Even though the world doesn't seem to think that's so precious, even though the world is so quickly to take someone's life, to do evil or to do wrong to someone, even though that is so, life is still precious. It's precious because God gave it to us. It comes from God, and He wanted you and I to go forth, and He said, be fruitful and multiply. And that's still the call today for you and I to be fruitful and to multiply. But I want to move that down to our day. Like to look at a scripture found in Matthew. Matthew, the 4th chapter. In verse 23, Matthew 4 and 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Hidden there in that little verse, part of verse that we read, is the secret to man's success today. Jesus went forth. He came to this world preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And when He did that, the last verse says, and there followed Him great multitudes. When Jesus came and began to preach the gospel to mankind, the good news, folks, Jesus came understanding that we were in the flesh, understanding the weakness of flesh, understanding the ability that you and I had to reason and understand whatever He said. He understood all those things. But He came preaching the gospel. Folks, after man fell, in order for you and I to have life today, we must hear the good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will revitalize, will renew mankind and bring us back to the place where God originally made us in the first place. And Jesus came, and His mission was, and His purpose was, and it still is today. It still is today, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Paul said in his writing that the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, didn't he? It is the gospel here now. We read where Jesus, right in the beginning of His ministry, went forth to preach the gospel in order that what? You and I could have life. Not just a temporary life in this world, but for you and I to get prepared for a life of the world to come. And Jesus came interested in those things, preaching to our understanding, preaching to our needs, and He went and He was healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Folks, you know, and when you're reaching out to any soul, when you're reaching out to the needs of people, when people have needs, like sicknesses and afflictions that come upon their bodies, and you come along and you touch them and you heal them, that has a great effect on their mind. It has a great effect on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, the Word of God needs to go forth in the same strain, in the same way. It needs to go forth with power. It needs to go forth with glory. It needs to go forth with healing. It needs to go forth with deliverance. It needs to go forth with understanding that man can get a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about life. It's all about you and I living, folks. Living not only in this present world, but in the world to come. I'm not ashamed, he said, of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God, actually, to redemption to everyone that believes. It's the power of God to everyone, to those that believe. Now there were certain people back in Jesus' day. Jesus preached to them, he preached to them, and he preached to them. And they still never did get it because they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't accept him as the Savior. Jesus came, folks, to be the sanctifier. He came to be the Savior. He came to be the healer. He is our all in all. He is all that you and I need today after the fall of man and falling into sin. Death came upon man, and because of their disobedience in the garden, death has came upon all men, and Jesus has come that you and I could be lifted out of that grave and be given life. Eternal life. Jesus was interested in eternal life. To preach Jesus today, in the Bible sense, means to preach him as he really is. Means to preach the burden that he came to this world with. He was concerned about life. He was concerned that people would not die in their sins. Because he told those Pharisees, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. He was interested, folks, in you and I getting a hold of the gospel. Being transformed, as the scripture was given in Sunday school, by the renewing of our mind, folks, that you and I could have some power with God and live a life holy with God. And it all comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's our Savior, our Sanctifier, and our Healer. Now I want to kind of go back in my mind last Sunday afternoon. We had a little gathering in the back, and Brother Clint showed us some pictures and some videos of his trip to India, first part of the month. And ever since that I've seen that, there are two images that have been haunting to me. I close my eyes, I can see them. I go about the day, and I can see them. There were two men. When he was over in what he called the slum area of where they went to over in India, and he was standing up there, and remember he was kind of teaching them, preaching to them. There were two men the camera kept going to, standing there, stoic, staring. And that image has been in my mind, and I thought, what are they thinking? What do they understand of what is being said? What can they comprehend of all that? Folks, it concerns me today. That probably very well could have been the first time they ever heard the message of Jesus Christ. It could have been the first time they ever heard it. It may be the last time that they ever hear it. But they had an opportunity to hear the gospel go forth, to hear Jesus Christ represented to them, to let them know that you have a Savior, you have a friend, you have God has come down in the flesh to be here to represent you, to help you with your needs. And they just stood there stoically. I saw no expression. It haunts me when I think of their faces. And there were many others there. Probably heard the gospel for the first time. And it concerns me greatly today. Please understand this morning that my burden, it runs so deep. I am so concerned about souls today. Those two men that were standing there, they got a soul, folks. They got a soul, and it's eternal. And God has reached out to them. He's spoken to them. And I pray that God will take what little bit was said, that they can comprehend that and they can get the help that they need to their eternal souls. All souls are precious, folks. And look what you and I have today. Sometimes I think we're a little spoiled here. I think we're just a little spoiled. There are many hurting and unbelieving and even ignorant people in the world today. But that's not so in here today, is it? Every one of us has heard the gospel time and time again. We hear it on a regular basis. And when we hear it, we're blessed. Whenever the power of the Spirit is upon the Word of God, it blesses us and it strengthens us. But oh, what does God require of you and I today? What's He requiring of us? These poor souls, not only in India, there's people right here in the United States of America, little children growing up, they don't know who Jesus is. They've never heard the message. Parents have never been in, darkened the door of a church. The little children have never darkened the door of a church. People are hurting today. People are struggling today. And I think about their precious soul. Folks, do you understand the value of a soul? You and I hear the Word of God on a weekly basis, pretty much. And it encourages us so much, doesn't it? But there's millions out there that's never heard it. It's haunting to me. All I can do is pray and ask God to have mercy. But before we finish here this morning, I want you to understand more than you ever did before of the value that God puts on a soul. The value of a soul. I can probably guarantee you that there are those in eternity today that could preach a better message than I ever could. I can pretty much assure you that there are those in eternity right now that really understand the value of their soul. But they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything to change it. Oh, when I think of the millions. And yet you and I struggle with these little things over here. We struggle with that little thing over there. Oh, Lord, help us. I want to get something from you to help me with this little problem. Help me with that little problem. You know, I look in the mirror, and every time I look in the mirror, I see who my problem is. I'm my biggest problem. We're our biggest problem. And every time that we see a problem that we have, a need that needs supplied, we're running to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need this, I need a scripture, I need a verse. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. It's been given to us. You and I are very blessed today to be able to go to the scriptures, to be able to have a little understanding of the Word of God. But folks, it's the power of the gospel that delivers men and women today. And I fear for not only those ministers in the sectarian churches, but those ministers anywhere that will try to use intellect, that will try to bring in their own mind and their own thoughts and try to make themselves, build themselves up and make themselves look good and try to preach the gospel on their own intellect. Folks, it won't work. Congregations are suffering because of it too, folks. People are suffering because of those very things. We must preach under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Remember the scripture that says when Jesus taught them, they said He speaks as one having authority. Folks, the only authority that I have to give you this morning is the Word of God, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit upon His gospel, His Word, to bless your soul. You know, that image has been really daunting to me this week, this past week. As I think of those men, I'd love to know what they were thinking. I'd love to know what they understood. I'd love to be able to go to their house and say, here, let me talk to you a little bit. Be like the man, the man that was in the chariot, Ethiopian. And Stephen ran up to him and he talked to him. Was it Stephen? Philip. Went up to him and talked to him. And he read this passage and said, who is this? Folks, people don't know who it is today. How blessed that you and I are. I cry out this morning and say, God has been so good to us. And yet you and I hear the gospel all the time and we struggle with this and struggle with that. I'm trying to say this morning, Lord, help us to find a place where we can get the victory over ourselves, the victory over the world, those little things that are haunting and daunting us. Because there's people that aren't blessed like you and I are. They don't hear it. They don't hear it. They don't understand it. And I wonder sometimes, and I'm talking about Larry here, if I'm a little spoiled. Because I've heard so many messages. What have we done with all those messages? What have we done with all those times the Word of God's gone forth? But yet we come back week after week, Lord, I need a little more. I'm struggling with this over here. I'm struggling with that. Lord, I need a little more. And that's all right, folks. But you know what I think? This is what I think. I believe God wants you and I to get some victories that we can pray for others. He wants you and I to get in a place that we can have power with God and we can get on our faces and we can cry our tears and we can call out on God to God for mercy. God have mercy on those souls. They are going to eternity. And they're going by the millions. And many of them will be lost forever in a devil's hell. Folks, that stirs my soul. It haunts me at night, waking up in the middle of the night and thinking about souls. People that I know that have died and didn't know anything about Jesus. People that had never experienced the warmth of His love. The warmth of His goodness. They never experienced it. And yet you and I here today, folks, we've been blessed with that all down through our lives, most of us. What are we doing with it? We need to get to the place where we can pray for others. And we can carry a burden for souls. Because when He breathed in us the breath of life, it says man became a living soul. And whether you and I get it right here, this time side of eternity, or whether we don't, our soul is going out there somewhere forever to live in eternity. We have control a little bit over our souls here by the choices we make, the judgments we make in life. We have a little bit of control over those things. But folks, I want to tell you, when we get there, our control falls off and it's all in God's hands. That's where we're going to find ourselves, in God's hands. Remember over there in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, I won't turn to it, but God told the children of Israel, I set before you this day life and death, therefore choose life that you might live. Folks, I'm talking to the church of God here this morning. I'm talking to you and I that have the truth, you and I that have heard the word preached multiple times in our life. I'm saying we need to be stirred in our spirits. We need to be stirred in our souls. Because there are people that's not as blessed like you and I are. And you don't have to go to India to find them. You don't have to go to India. They're in our prisons. They're locked up somewhere. They're murderers and rapists and all kinds of people out there. They don't know about Jesus, and if you go to talk to them, they probably don't even want to know about Jesus. Folks, they got a soul. They got a soul, same as you and I do. You care about your soul, don't you? Sure we do. Our soul is valuable, folks. I thank God for the gospel. I thank Him for the truth. I surely do. And I realize I've been blessed above many to have heard it and to have received it. And I don't want to lose it. You know, I was thinking, meditating on some of these things this past week about different ones in the congregation right here. And then saints that I know, and I know them, an awful lot of them, across the land. There's just some folks that you just expect them to stay saved. You know what I'm saying? You just expect they're going to be faithful. You just expect, you know, while I saw them last Sunday, I'll see them again Wednesday. I saw them Wednesday, I'll see them again next Sunday. They're going to be faithful. They're not going to give this thing up because they understand how precious it is. And sometimes maybe we take each other for granted. Well, that sister over there, I just expect her to stay safe. That brother over there, I know they're going through hard places. I know they're battling a lot of things, but I just expect that they're going to stay saved. And here's people over there never heard the gospel and never heard the truth. Lord, help us. To whom much is given, much is required, the scripture says. And you and I have been given much. And God's going to require it from each and every one of us. Let's look at a scripture now. Haven't even got to the scripture that came to my mind when I was looking to those fellows there, but I want to look at another scripture. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Lord bless. The 16th chapter, and I'll begin reading in the 21st verse. Jesus was with the disciples. It said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and he said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. He's not calling Peter Satan, but he was tempted in the spirit when he was out in the desert place. But he said he recognized Satan where Satan was raising his head. Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus says, Peter, I've tried to explain to you what's going to happen to me. I've tried to give you a little insight to this plan of salvation, the death of the Son of Man. But he says, you don't seem, you're not looking at the things from God's point of view. Folks, are we looking at things from God's point of view? Are we looking at him, at what he puts the value on? And what he puts the importance on? Is that how we're looking at life today? Is that how we're looking at the things that we deal with today from God's point of view? Every decision that you and I make, you must have your soul in mind, folks. Because it will affect where you dwell in eternity. He says here, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're not looking at God's point of view here. Jesus was forever trying to get sometimes his shallow-minded disciples to understand, don't look at this life. Don't consider the things that you have to deal with in this life. They are a stepping stone to eternity for your soul. Jesus is forever trying to help him to see that. God has been so gracious through his gospel, through his Son, through his Holy Spirit, to give us the plan of salvation. And it seems like there are so many that is not really serious about their souls. I've already heard it said here in the service this morning. I didn't say it. But I've already heard it said, it's getting late. Time is marching on, folks. in my mind and the way that I was looking at things, I'm really shocked that we're in 2018. I'm really surprised. But I'm not surprised that things aren't getting any better. Not surprised at that. It's time for us to walk and live in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Get serious about your souls today. I want to read on down here where Jesus continues to talk to his disciples. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Folks, you can say, I've heard these scriptures over and over. I've read these scriptures. So have I. But they don't have the power. They didn't have the power or the meaning that they have to me today. They didn't have the urgency then as they do to me today. Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross. It's the cross, folks. It's the cross that we must take. It's the way of Christ. He gave his life for you and I. You and I must be willing to give our life for souls and for Jesus. Must be willing to do that. He said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Have you ever asked yourself those questions? What would you be willing to give up or to give in exchange for your soul? Reminds me of the young man who his crops brought forth plentifully. He's a rich man, wasn't he? And he says, I don't have enough room. I don't have enough room in the barns that I have. I'm going to tear down my barns. And I'm going to build bigger barns. I want to be able to store all this earthly, worldly goods that I can store. Folks, let me tell you, the earthly goods is fuel for the burning. This rich man, he didn't have his perspective right, did he? He wasn't looking at things the way that God looks at things. And he said, when I get done building my barns and getting filled with all my grain, I'm going to sit down and say to my soul, take ease and rest. And God came along, didn't he? What has a man profited if he gained the whole world? Oh, I know we go through periods of life. I went through periods of life. Not that I wanted to gain the whole world, but I was trying to accomplish something and get a hold of some things and be fruitful in the ways of the world. We all try to do that. We've done that down through our life. But folks, we're down here in ground zero right now. And when God heard the rich man, the young man, I'm going to sit back and say to my soul, take ease. Folks, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't say that to your soul. Because God come along and he said, thou fool. When God says you're a fool, you're a fool. When God says it, folks, you're a fool. Because tonight, he didn't say your life shall be taken. He said, thy soul. Tonight, your soul shall be taken. It's your soul. Do you understand the value of your soul? How important your soul is? I've made a lot of trips in airplanes and been in a lot of airports, sat there for hours watching people. And sometimes I sit there and I'm amazed at the crowd and the multitude of people going back and forth. And I had the thought one time, every one of them is carrying a soul. Every one of them is taking a soul to eternity. Every one of them. Folks, people don't realize how important this is. Some folks don't. But I want us to realize how important. Paul said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? No, don't neglect your salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's just as simple today as it was in Christ's day. It's still the simple message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Believing in His death and in His resurrection. Lord, help us today. When God looked down on that young man, he was making his decision for life. He was putting all of his eggs in one basket. Temporary. In this life. It's temporary, folks. It's going to pass away. And then God looked down and he heard what the young man said. And what did God do? He drew a line, folks. God's drawn a line in his holy word for every one of us. There's a line there. That you and I must stay behind that line. We cross that line and we may get out there and never be able to find God again. There were things in my life when I went out, when I left the Lord and went out into the world, there were certain lines that I wouldn't cross. I laid some lines for myself, folks. Lay some lines for yourself. But I want to remind you again, God has a line. Drawn before each and every one of us today. This young man, what did he do? He crossed the line. He crossed the line. And God called him a fool. He called him a fool. This world has no eternal value. And it's so hard on us as we're learning in Sunday school. That's the things that we see, the things that appeal to us. Appeal to your weakness, to your flesh, to your nature. The things that, and the world knows how to market those things, the brother said. But let me read it again. What has a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you be willing to give your soul in exchange for one of your loved ones? You know, I think about Moses sometimes. When he was kind of put out with the children of Israel. And he was making an appeal to God and he says, if you're not going to deliver them, blot my name out of the book of life too. I'm never going to ask God to blot my name out of the book of life, folks. I don't want my name blotted out of the book of life. But God had mercy on Moses. I don't know if Moses really realized what he was saying or not, but he said it. And God had mercy on Moses. And he said, I'll not blot out your name. But the sins of my people will be upon the sins of my people. The ones that have sinned will be upon their heads. It comes down. You know, I've preached so many funerals. And it comes down to that time when we all are going to draw our last breath. I don't know what's going to take us out of here. But folks, I don't want to love. What did he say here? If you save your life, you're going to lose it. And whosoever loses life for my sake shall find. I don't want to love this life more than my eternal soul. But I want to be willing. I want to be willing to submit to whatever the will of God is. Have a loved one right now that I'm begging God to have mercy on the soul. Begging God. They don't even know where they're at. Their mind is so far gone. Lord, have mercy on souls. Lord, help me to adopt, can I say it this way, to adopt and maintain an attitude or an awareness of mine as to the value of my soul. The value of my soul. I remember being in California one time, and I told those folks out there, I says, there ain't none of you there, none of you out there can keep me out of heaven. None of you. The only one that can keep me out of heaven is me. I can come up with a wrong attitude. I can come up with unforgiveness. I can carry hurt feelings around on my elbows if I want to. That may keep me out of heaven. But you can't do it. See, it all falls on us, doesn't it? The weight's on our shoulder. That eternal weight of glory. It's on our shoulders today. You and I need to be so careful not to allow anything to come between us and God. Don't allow anything, folks. You know, there's things out there that look good to you. Just remember, the devil made things look good to Eve too. He made it look good to Eve. And he's still working on us. The devil is. He's still trying us. He's still tempting us. He's testing us. And the Lord is permitting it to be so. How is our love today for the Lord? How is our love? I want to look at the scripture that came to my mind when I saw those men in that little video over in India. 17th chapter of St. John, of the book of John. 17th chapter of the book of John. I love this chapter. I read it and I think of Jesus praying for the things that was dearest to his heart. I believe that's what he was praying for. He prayed for you and I, didn't he? But he started off saying these words, spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is the verse that kept flashing through my mind. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, folks. Do you want it? You know, there's people out there that don't want to be lost. They don't want to be lost. But they don't understand. They don't have the depths of understanding that you do. They don't know what it really means to forsake the world and follow Christ. They don't understand those things. There's so many valuable things that you and I have been able to glean out of the Word of God and get a hold of and stand upon that the world doesn't understand. But this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and His Son that you sent into the world. That's eternal life, folks. And Lord, help us. We may know a lot. We may think we know a lot. We may have a lot of understanding of the Word of God. But folks, when you're evaluating someone that's passed from this life into eternity, don't be hard and don't be critical, but give them the benefit of God dealing and working with their souls. Life eternal, it doesn't say this is life eternal that we might know the denomination, that we might know the creed, or that we might know the doctrine. It doesn't say that, does it? It says that they may know God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Folks, we've all got some work to finish. We got some work to do. All of us. We're not finished yet. The Lord's not finished with us. We're still here. And we got work to do. What are you going to do with the time that you have left? The time that God gives you, the breath that you're breathing today. What are we going to do with it? Lord, help me. What are we going to do with it? My soul cries out this morning for those that are lost. those that don't know God and Jesus Christ. Those two men standing there, just at attention, no emotion, no nothing. And I thought, what are they getting here? Are they getting anything out of what the brother is saying? Are they hearing the word? Is the Holy Spirit ministering to their hearts? Oh, I'm so glad God has all those things in His hands. His ways are so much higher than ours. But I know this. The Bible says it's not His will that any should be lost. It's not His will that any should be lost. I'm thankful for the brethren and sisters, whoever are willing and able to go to the land, foreign lands that God sends them to. I've made a few trips myself in the past. The folks, I don't know of any land when it comes to ignorance. I don't know of any land more foreign than the United States of America. Our people are ignorant today. They don't know God. They don't know Jesus. They don't understand what it's going to mean to take their final breath and not know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. May God help us today to see the value of a soul. Not just yourself. Don't focus on yourself all the time. Ask the Lord to give you a burden for others. Verse 7 here says, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. I've given them the words, verse 8, which thou gavest me, and they have received them and had known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. May God help us today. Folks, we got a little time. We've all been given in a certain amount of time. The Lord knows when. Let's do what we can do. Not only for our souls, but let's consider the value of eternal souls today. The value of those that don't know Jesus. Those that are in a lost condition. Lord, help us. I don't mean to be hard here. But folks, if you're saved today, I expect you to stay that way. My expectations may not mean a whole lot, but what you've been given is priceless. You can't put a price on it. What you've been given is priceless, and you need to do everything you can to fight the enemy of your soul to keep what you have and hold on to eternal life. May God bless each and every one of us today. I thank God for life. I thank Him for His love and His mercy and His goodness to me. Amen.